On that note, you should get your B card ready because after this interview, I'm going to be giving away some tickets. How many tickets? A double pass to go see Bring Her Back, which is out tomorrow. And we just talked about it with Steve. So, I have some information about this. Caleb and Annabelle of Sports Team got to chat to Danny and Michael Philippo from the upcoming horror film Bring Her Back. It's releasing tomorrow in New Zealand cinemas. They said to mention that this film is also being produced by Causeway Films in Australia, which also, that was really weird wording, they're also producing their very own show, Callum and Annabelle's show, The Weed Eaters, which you should also keep an eye out for that too. They do talk about it a little bit in the interview, so I'm just putting it out there. The basic idea of this film, as we mentioned before, is a brother and a sister kind of slowly uncover this terrifying ritual thing at the home of their new foster mother. And I think it talks a lot about grief, all sorts of cool stuff. I talk like I know, like I've seen this film. I haven't. I'm just really excited about it. And yeah, let's listen to the interview. Get your B card ready. Takes in 5395. You've got until the end of this interview to get those, get it, be in to win a double pass. Let's have a listen.
How different are your lives right now compared to, like, from when Talk To Me came out to now? How's it changed?
I mean, the coolest part is like, that it was easier to get the financing for the next one. Because as you guys would know, like, it's such a tricky thing, like, pulling funding together. And, like, Talk To Me took years of, like, begging and pleading and, like, grabbing any little dollars that you could do and reinvesting all your fees and, like, not being able to fill up your car. to have the trust to, like, just finance the next thing, that felt like the biggest change and a really, really cool thing to
but
have.
Then on the other side of that is that the pressure and, you know, and it's a lot more, you're blessed because it's these opportunities, but there's so much more anxiety and stress that comes with it, you know, because there's an expectation almost to deliver something that's the same or better. And, you know, so it feels like there's a lot more judgment going towards what you're making. So it's just a lot more anxiety. A few panic attacks, actually.
Yeah, but it always feels like you've robbed a bank when you get budget for a film. You're like, is it someone paying for this?
Absolutely. I feel that way over even the smallest amounts of money for funding for stuff. I'm like, who let me have this?
Yeah, I know. It's so, so crazy. Yeah. It does feel like that.
Yeah. You're talking about the pressure of the follow-up always going to be scary. Did you have this in your pocket when you were working on Talk To Me? Like, what was the original idea for Bring Her Back?
Yeah, it was developed at the same time. Yeah. And by the time that we're in production for Talk To Me, we had a Bring Her Back script that we're begging Sam to make. Like, come on, let's make this, is the next one. Look, it's ready to go. And it's like, you'd never just stop writing. You don't just finish a script and be like, all right, cool, that's done. I'll wait for that to happen. Like, continue making stuff, continue generating, and like, it'll go somewhere. Something will happen.
You sound like a pipe cleaner.
Thank you.
Sorry, he's lost his voice.
I've lost my voice, and I don't sound great.
Yeah, it's a bit, yeah. Like, oh, there's water, you know, they got you a few things you should try.
Actually. Yeah, I've got water. I might bash over your head. Sorry.
That's cool. Guys. No, it sounds like a chain smoker and, like, you know, in the coolest way.
That's what I was inspired by. My dad's a chain smoker and I'm trying to channel him right now.
People work hard to get that sound, that vocal quality.
Yeah, it usually takes years to get this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's cool. All right, what other questions do I have? Oh, I wanted to know about, like, with like a bigger budget comes this ability to do really intensely realistic effects and the prosthetics and the gore. How important is that for you versus, like, or do you guys, are you guys into the super janky DIY stuff as well?
We love the super janky DIY stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess it depends on the project, but for this, we wanted it to feel real. And we had two prosthetics teams this time working on two separate things. So that was amazing. We loved pitting them against each other and saying things like, hey, you see that prop head they made? Hey, Mega Effects did a pretty good job. You guys want to top that?
Yeah, no, that's like management. A good healthy competition.
That's
that stuff's the best. And you know what? It's in a way it's a smaller movie than Talk to Me, but then other ways logistically it's bigger in different ways. Like the rain, shooting rain practically. Yeah. Oh my god, fucking nightmare. Next movie's in a drought. Next movie, there's no rain.
One of my questions was, is all the rain fake?
You know what? It's all real. And then when we're like plotting for it, someone's like, you really should shoot these rain scenes at nighttime because this is going to be a freaking nightmare. Like, you cannot control the sun. And so it became a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, and shooting these houses, all these big windows, even shooting the upstairs that's in a set. And we want practical rain, so then you have to put rain machines inside and then somehow have it so the water doesn't go all over the floor, and it's just, it's like a complicated, you know, and then you're lighting for rain, you're lighting for these different things, and then we were, like, there was this big crane for the big rain scenes that was, like, picked up this gigantic hose, and it was spitting so much rain out, it was incredible.
It started flooding the house.
And it started flooding the house. We were shooting like this, like, so we're doing a scene, and we look down at the water. You know that scene in Titanic where the, you know, he's like trained and then the water starts coming in? It was like that.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. This, I imagine you could do a whole behind the scenes documentary.
Yeah. We shot everything. Oh. Every day of production was filmed. So yeah, there's some really, really funny, muddy footage.
Yeah, the rain, especially in the second half of the film, it was like very claustrophobic, kind of reminded me of being stuck inside during like rainy days at school, that sort of like the sweaty feeling, like it's on the poster, you know, the
rain on the window,
just like
horrendous.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so interesting about rain is that it can be really calming and soothing, but it also can feel like the apocalypse and the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And there's moments when Laura's at peace and she's connecting with Piper, and the rain is so gentle, and it's so beautiful, and it's so soothing. Mm-hmm. Then there's other times when it's Andy's perspective where you freaking heighten it, and you change that, like the volume of it and the density of it, and it can be portrayed a whole other way.
Yeah,
and it's all part of the, you know, Laura's soul is empty, and that's the pool. The pool's empty at the beginning of the movie, and then it's filling up to lead to a climax. And it's so. Threading things in thematically through that and through stuff like the rain and like circles and with sound, that's cool when that starts all clicking. That's the fun stuff.
Oh, and like the bedwetting and stuff, that's all like, you know, you're gonna like more likely wet yourself with the sound of rain.
That was based on Michael's experience. He wheezed himself still.
Yeah, and Danny used to pour it on me,
yeah. Because it's all from an experience you had, I imagined. It's all just...
yeah. I love pouring piss on Michael.
Yeah. The classic prank.
So a lot of it's all set in this one house. Is that a real place? Did you build that house? Like, how did you...
Yeah, where'd you find
the
that?
The pool seems so perfect. Like, the...
The bottom story was a real place.
Yeah.
And it was like a really amazing location where there was this valley surrounding the house. So the sun would set earlier, so we had more time to film the rain scenes without having to like try and block out the sun. Mm-hmm. And it was like removing the pool gates and those pool things that like are surrounding the pool. And then like tiling the pool so it's the design that we want. And then the upstairs was completely built on a studio.
Wow.
Cool. It's gorgeous. It's so sick. I wondered if what like themes, like on a serious note, what themes in the film are actually coming from like a personal place or personal experience, if anything at all?
Well, yeah, like we were experiencing loss while writing the film, and we experienced loss while making the film, and like all the scenes are drawing on something personal and something real, and it's like that's the way that you don't have to carry it around with you or live with it. It's like you give it somewhere to live and you take it off of your shoulders. Mm. And there's scenes that you can't even like talk about properly because they're so personal and they're so horrifying. And just the visual metaphor of that is what conveys it. And it doesn't need words. It doesn't need dialogue. It doesn't need an explanation. It's just representing that thing. And that's what makes horror such a cathartic genre. You've got somewhere to place all these horrific things.
That's great. And do you have any relationships, like personal relationships with the vision impaired community? Do you have a link to that?
Yeah, so as Piper was based on a friend's little sister.
Really?
And,
And she was wanting to catch the bus for the first time, and her parents really didn't want her doing it. But she wanted to learn how to navigate the world on her own.
Yeah.
And she wanted to learn how to be independent. And I could see both sides of that argument. And like, her relationship with her brother is so beautiful. And they're, like, really roughhouse. Like, they wrestle and they fight, and she's tough. And same so with Sora. Like, that sport that they play, goalball, is such a painful physical sport.
Yeah.
And like, there was, like, a bit of, like, Sora wanted to do those stunts and wanted to perform the goalball, wanted to jump in the pool, wanted to fight Billy and jump on his back and choke him out. She fights with her dad. That's sort of, like, their love language as well. That was, like, the main tie, I'd say.
Yeah, it's she's incredible. It's such a great character. Like, how similar is she beyond that stuff to her character? Has she got that, like, sense of humor?
Yeah, Sora's so funny, and Cheyenne, who's the girl, is so funny. And like, when you're working with them, it's, like, really, really working to make them comfortable. Like, we had an amazing acting coach that was with her, Brie, who was incredible with her, and Miranda. Like, they really helped, allow her to, like, express herself really freely. And it was, like, designing the schedule so you build up to those tricky scenes. You don't throw her in the deep end straight away. Amazing seeing Sora's transformation from the start of the film to the end of it.
You guys, I think a link between this film and the last maybe is, like, there's some messed up stuff that happens to kids.
Like, yeah. He's like, let's fuck up some kids.
Which is...
it must be from the obsession with The Exorcist as a kid. Oh, yeah. Maybe
this
one.
Well, they're both... Because this and Talk To Me were developed at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's... It is like a brother-sister thing. So there's some things that are similar thematically as
like
well.
Killing kids. Yeah. That's one of those things.
Can you talk about, like, working with the kids, like, directing them, like, is that a fun time for you guys? I imagine there's all sorts of restrictions around what they can and can't do, and there's some pretty,
and the prosthetics
and everything. Yeah. Seemed intense.
Yeah, it was like creating an environment that was fun to be on, and like having joke takes at the end of those heavy scenes to pull them out of it, where Laura would start singing in character, or, you know, that's like, their parents are on set and they're helping them find the rhythm and find themselves. Like, that was all that. And like, letting them know that there's no such thing as a bad take. There's no such thing as a bad performance. Like, you're not letting anybody down. We don't know what we're doing. We're terrible directors. And, like, we're all finding it together.
And it says the most horrific scenes are the ones that are most fun to film. You guys would know with shooting gore, that's the stuff that's...
Yeah.
That's when the set feels alive.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was heavy prosthetics, especially there was a few days where Adrenaline was in full prosthetics, and we gave the option to him to, a different actor can play this if you want, because it's going to be longer in the chair doing the prosthetic stuff, but he wanted to do it, and he came every day with a smile on his face, and we're so proud of him. He worked so hard, and he'd come on set dressed as a monster, talking still like Jonah, which was so surreal. And then it just comes across his performances. I think it's iconic. One of the best demon kids ever. So, we're so proud of him.
And he's a physical, tough kid. Like, he's a Muay Thai fighter, and he's had 3 fights already.
And he's
like,
11.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Perfect. All right. We have to wrap it up. But what a pleasure to talk to you guys.
We love your movie. That's my parting words. I could talk to you all day about your movie. I'd love to pick your brain. Well done, guys.
I'm sure we'll get a chance. We'll hang out sometime.
Yeah, we'd love that.
That is amazing. I was given a warning that these brothers are so energetic and so wild. I should have passed that on, but they are fantastic. Go check out Bring Her Back Cinemas tomorrow, not